What's up, everybody? This is Jay Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. This week, we're going to be discussing some news in the NFL in week five, and we're going to be discussing one of my former teammates' college performance, and then we're going to talk about some ex-NBA players. They got into a little bit of trouble earlier this week, so we're going to be discussing that. But first, I want to talk about my Bears. They played great yesterday. I'm smiling right now. I'm excited, to talk about it. Played great yesterday. We went against the Las Vegas Raiders. We won the game 20-9. Justin Fields, obviously, he was named a starter going forward. He played. He had a nice game. He was 12 for 20, threw for 111 yards. And one touchdown, passed for one touchdown. This is his first career passing touchdown. And then our running game we were firing on all cylinders as far as the running game. Khalil Herbert, the rookie out of Virginia Tech, he had 18 carries for 75 yards. And Damian Williams, he had 16 carries for 64 yards and one touchdown. As I was watching the game, I noticed that, Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert, their rotation, as far as Bill Lazor and the play calling, their rotations were great. None of them, they didn't look tired throughout the entire game, and it was just a perfect balance for both of those guys. And I evaluated Williams, his elusiveness and his ability to make plays is crazy. It was one touchdown, I think it was right before the end of the first half. He bounced it outside and made a quick cut, made a quick spin move, and he got into the end zone. It's plays like that where, you can see this guy is special. He was on that Super Bowl team, the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl team a couple years ago. And, you can tell his playmaking ability is there, the rookie, Khalil Herbert, I was evaluating him as well, and I said he doesn't really play like a rookie, in my opinion. Like I said, 18 carries for 75 yards. His vision is incredible. Like I said, he doesn't really play like a rookie. He sees gaps. He sees the field very well once he gets the ball. And another thing I noticed, he runs very hard. Like, he plays extremely hard. He brings effort to the table every time he runs the ball. And you can't ask a guy for more than that. All you can ask a guy for is effort, energy and effort. And he brings it every single down, every single play he's in there. As far as blocking as well, like I said, running the ball, he runs hard. And moving on to the defense side of the ball, Khalil Mack, you can't really say anything about Khalil Mack that really isn't known already. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. I'm glad we have him on our team. Yesterday, he had 8 tackles, 1 sack, and he leads the team in sacks. He has 6 sacks in 5 games. And his presence was felt the entire game, as far as getting pressure on Derek Carr. He was just, it was a lot of QB hits, stuff like that. And like I said, his presence was just felt. You can always feel where Khalil Mack was and where he was coming from the whole entire game. And that's what you expect from a guy like that, a guy that can make plays on the defensive side of the ball. That's what you expect. You worry about him the entire game, because if you don't, it's going to be trouble for you, And our defense, we just played great as a whole. DeAndre Houston Carson, he had an interception in the second half. And Gibson, number 98, he had a sack as well. And that was basically the icing on the cake for those guys, for the Raiders. They couldn't really get it going offensively the whole entire game. And that's just, that attests to our defense, and they had a few penalties, that that set them back. I remember one time in the first half, they were in the red zone and they got 2 penalties, and then they end up kicking a field goal. It's stuff like that, to where, they really couldn't get it going. They couldn't find any consistency in their offense the entire night. And, the speculations with John Gruden, their head coach, that's really not a good combination. Those guys are, thinking about that, thinking about their head coach making racial slurs, stuff like that. That's really not what you want to have on your mind going into a game like this. The Bears, we may not be as good as these other teams, but you can't underestimate the Bears. You know, if you come out flat, you come out like they did, you're going to lose the ball game. And that's exactly what happened, you know. But like I said, the Raiders are a great team, but, you know, they just had a lot of distractions going into this game. And I'm not taking anything away from the Bears. However, you know, it's tough to play like that. But I'm glad my Bears won. Next week we have Green Bay. That's going to be a great one. I can't wait to see what happens then. I believe we can pull it off. You know, Green Bay just won in overtime against the Bengals yesterday. But I think we can pull it off. You know, if our offense is clicking like it was yesterday, it's going to be great. You know, and I believe we can, like I said, I believe we can win. Next, what happened earlier this week, Russell Wilson, on Thursday Night Football, he ruptured his middle finger tendon and he got surgery on it. I believe it was Saturday, and he will be out 6 to 8 weeks. That's tough for the Seattle Seahawks, because defensively they've struggled, you know, a little bit, and, you know, they were trying to get their offense going to make up for those defensive struggles. However, you know, you can't really substitute a Russell Wilson. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And their backup is Geno Smith. And, you know, we all know his track record. He hasn't really been a consistent quarterback, like, you know, at all. And we're going to see how that goes. But like I said, I wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully he comes back healthy and comes back, you know, as his usual Russell Wilson self, you know, making plays for other guys and stuff like that. Next, I want to touch on Jalen Smith, linebacker Jalen Smith. The Cowboys released him last week, and the Packers signed him to a one-year deal. You know, you really hate to see the Packers, you know, sign really good players, because their defense is already, you know, it's already made up, basically, you know. And Jalen Smith, you know, he's a great player, great linebacker, you know. He has the speed, he has the physical ability to, you know, make plays. And yeah, it's gonna be tough, you know, playing against that guy. You know, he made a lot of plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and we're gonna see how that goes. You know, hopefully, he makes an impact on the Packers. Hopefully, you know, he does what he's supposed to do and gets back to his normal self. But like I said, it's gonna be tough. You know, me being a Bears fan, seeing that guy have success and seeing the Packers have success with that guy, because, you know, it's inevitable. You know, it's gonna happen. So. Yeah, hopefully, like I said, you know, where the Bears are able to, you know, overcome that and, you know, come out with a win next week. Next, the Patriots. I was surprised about this. The Patriots, they traded Stephon Gilmore to the Carolina Panthers for a 2023 sixth round pick. I was really surprised about this because, you know, he's coming off an injury. Everyone knows. And, you know, I feel like the Patriots didn't give him enough time to, you know, come back to his normal self. He was due to come back in week 6, which is this week coming up. So I really didn't understand why the Patriots released him, because, you know, he's still a Pro Bowl corner. He's one of the best corners in the league. And you got to respect that. You know, you can't just release a guy like that, you know, that makes plays on the defensive side of the football. And the Carolina Panthers, their defense is already stacked, you know, and they just added another great piece to their defense. You know, they have defensive end Brian Burns, linebacker Shaq Thomas, free safety Jeremy Chinn, and they loaded up at corner. You know, like I said, they got Stephon Gilmore now. They have Dante Jackson, CJ Henderson, AJ Bouye, Rashad Melvin, and their first round pick, JC Horn, is on IR right now, but he's coming back either week 7 or week 8. So, like I said, their defense is great right now. You know, they were playing well, you know, and they just lost to the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. And however, I believe, you know, they will come back from that. You know, Sam Darnold has been playing, you know, good football this entire season, especially those first 3 games. Like I said, their defense is looking great. You know, they have a real nice defense. Every position is, you know, every position is filled. You know, it's looking good for the Carolina Panthers in the future. And hopefully, you know, they can keep it all together. Hopefully Sam Darnold can keep playing the way he's playing. And we'll see how that goes. And moving to college football, one of my former teammates, DJ Williams, he had a great game this past weekend against UT Martin. Unfortunately, they lost the game. Murray State lost the game 24 to UT Martin's 48. DJ Williams, he went 13 for 22, 182 yards with one touchdown. And that was his first career passing touchdown. And he also had four carries for 28 yards. I was watching, you know, the highlights of the game, and he's, you know, he's very poised. You know, he's a very relaxed quarterback. He makes plays, you know, he makes the best of his opportunities when he's in the game. And you can't ask a guy for more. You know, he brings energy and effort. You know, he never hangs his head, you know, throughout the whole game. I believe they were down almost the whole game, and he never hung his head. You know, he just went out there and did what he was expected to do. And like I said, you can't ask a guy for more than that. And they play Southeast Missouri State this week, and, you know, hopefully they can come out on top. However, this past week, like I said, it was tough. It was tough for him, but, you know, hopefully, like I said, he can come out and, you know, play well this week as well. And second to last, I want to talk about the 18 former NBA players. They were arrested and charged Thursday with defrauding the NBA's health and welfare benefit plan out of $4 million, officials said, according to NBC News. Those charged face a count of conspiracy to commit a health care and wire fraud. And, you know, that's crazy to see, you know, former NBA players like that. You know, some of the more known players, Darius Miles, Shannon Brown, Glenn Big Baby Davis, Will Bynum, Sebastian Telfair, Tony Allen. Those guys are, you know, more known players in the league. And, you know, they're taking advantage of the system, or trying to, at least, you know. And it's tough to see that, because, you know, these guys were known for, some of these guys were known for, you know, not handling their money well while they were in the NBA. And it's tough to see that, you know, you expect adults and grown men to, you know, after basketball, to handle their business, you know, the way it's supposed to be handled. You know, you don't expect something like this. You know, guys might have to put their pride aside, you know, and get a regular job. You know, you have to find some other income. You can't have the same spending habits, you know, with, you know, life after basketball. You just can't, because the money's not coming in anymore, obviously. So, you know, I feel as if those players, they thought that, you know, they can, like I said, you know, almost correct the system, or, you know, have their way with the system. And that's just not right, you know. And that, you know, that messes it up for, you know, the men that actually need these services. You know, that NBA's health and welfare benefit plan, that gives, you know, players the access to chiropractors, doctors, dentists, you know, stuff like that, and knee specialists and stuff like that. So players that, you know, try to mess up the system, that just, you know, makes it harder for those guys to actually need the services, because now everything is going to be looked over. Everything is going to be, you know, very well, you know, like I said, looked over. And that's just not okay, you know. And like I said, these players, you know, you wouldn't expect that from these kind of players, but maybe they fell in hard times or something like that, but that's still no excuse to what they've done. And that's just, like I said, that just speaks to what kind of men these guys are. And, you know, it always gets me kind of, you know, kind of angry, because, like, you could have did it a different way while you were actually in the NBA. And that's all there is to it, you know. You could have handled your money way better. You could have had people around you that, you know, could have told you, you know, the right way to do it. You know, could have told you what to do, what not to do, how to spend this, how to spend that. And I've seen interviews where former NBA players, besides these guys, and current NBA players and current NFL players and former NFL players that have, you know, handled their money way better. You know, they've had accountants, they've had financial advisors, stuff like that, to help them control their spending habits. And those guys, you know, coming from their backgrounds, I know some of these guys' backgrounds, and coming from their backgrounds, it's like, you need to have someone like that, because if you're coming from nothing and you all of a sudden you get all this money and you getting all the fame and the fortune and stuff like that, you're just gonna spend it. You're just gonna, you know, not even think about it and just spend all this money fast. And that's not the way to do it, you know. And like I said, hopefully these players, you know, learn their lesson. You know, hopefully they don't try to, you know, do anything else as far as, you know, trying to get over on the system. But, you know, like I said, I just hate to see stuff like that, you know. But next, I wanted to talk about Kyrie Irving and his hiatus. Because he doesn't want to get a vaccine. It's tough to see that, because I'm on both sides of it. I'm on the side of, you know, player empowerment. You know, I believe that players can and will make their own decisions, and they can, you know, say no to what they want to say no to. However, this is for the betterment of the league. You know, this is for the greater good, you know, and for a guy like that to, you know, put the team on a back burner and put himself in front, that's really not okay. And, you know, Kyrie's a great guy. You know, he's a world-class athlete, world-class person. You know, you just wouldn't expect for him to do something like that. And last year he's shown that, you know, he puts himself first, and he puts his health and safety and mental health first. And that's always good for an NBA player. You know, mental health comes first, you know, stuff like that. You know, your personal stuff comes first. However, you know, not being there for your team, you know, the Brooklyn Nets are a championship contender with Kyrie Irving in the lineup, you know, and not being there for your team, you know, it's detrimental, you know, because he's not going to play any home games, and the Brooklyn Nets are going to consider him as a partial player, you know, a part-time player. And I believe that's going to hurt the Brooklyn Nets in the long run, because you need a guy like Kyrie Irving to, you know, score the ball, make plays for other guys. And like I said, the league is just better with Kyrie Irving in it, you know. And it's always tough to see that. But like I said, we're going to see what happens. Hopefully, you know, he makes a decision, and hopefully, you know, he's okay with that decision, because in the end, I don't want him to, you know, regret doing something he doesn't want to do, you know. And with that being said, this is the end of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast, episode 5. This is Jay Short. I will see you guys next week.